Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to continue today with our classes, The Great Mercy of God. And we are in Genesis chapter 18, and we will be looking at the passage of verses 22 through 33. All the verses from verse 22 through 33 in that passage. And I will, I was looking at a different page of my notes. We will be actually looking at verses 16 through 21. There you go. Verse 16 through 21 of Genesis chapter 18. And just one of the things that I wanted to mention before I read the passage is the following. That in reading anything concerning Abraham, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, from Genesis chapter 17 and onward, and especially right here, we're looking at Abraham, we have to consider what the Lord Himself did in Genesis chapter 17 and how it affects everything from that moment onward. Okay? So let's go ahead and just look at Genesis chapter 17. And I believe that for either the majority of last year, 2019, I believe that either for the majority of last year or for the entire year itself, we were in Genesis chapter 17. To me, my brothers and sisters, says something right there. We weren't there because I was just trying to find something to share out of the passage, out of the chapter. No. We were there, I believe, because the Lord constrained my heart to continue there. There's found within this chapter is what I would say a foundation that is laid. Well, I can't even say that because that happens at the moment of new birth when the God of glory first appears. Found in this chapter, found in this passage that we're about to read, this verse in Genesis chapter 17, is found the foundation that is revealed by God Himself, upon which everything and anything of God stands. Okay? Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. And once again, God has to take the initiative. He has to. Man, I'll just say it this way. Non-believers, those who are not born again, believers who are born again, man, all we like sheep, we go our own way. That's what we do. That's what man does. God always has to take the initiative, my brothers and sisters. Always. Ever since the moment of new birth, ever since the moment the God of glory appears, from that very moment onward, it is not I, but Christ. Whether we believe it, whether we accept it, whether we acknowledge it or understand it or see it with our natural eyes or not. That is the truth. That is the reality of God. No. This natural realm does not determine reality. No. What is not seen by the natural eye is greater than what is seen with a natural eye. Because what is seen with a natural eye is passing, and yet we place so much weight upon it. When it is like a vapor, like an air. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram, his name not yet changed in verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. I am not you. I am Almighty God, that is, I am El Shaddai, the only all-powerful, the only able, the only capable, the only sufficient, the only self-sufficient one. The Lord says, I am. He doesn't tell Abram, you are. No, no. Because Abram was convinced that he had ability. No. Now, maybe pertaining to the things of the flesh, we know Abram, he had ability for dead works. Yes, for dead works. He had ability for that which pertains to man, the first man, Adam. Abram, he had ability. Those who are not born again, they have ability for dead works. But concerning God and that which pertains to God, man has no ability whatsoever. Zero. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me, before my face, and be blameless. Now, the Lord has just established, the Lord taking the initiative, him appearing unto Abram, he establishes, the Lord himself establishes that he is the only one who has power, the only one who is able, the only one who is capable for that which pertains to God. And so then right here, my brothers and sisters, right here, we are too high-minded of ourselves. We think too highly of ourselves. So I'm speaking to us who are born again. The world is the world. Those who are not born again, that's all they know is themselves. But we, my brothers and sisters, we who are born again, we think too highly of ourselves. We think we have some ability. We'll read this passage. Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared. God said to him, Almighty God. And then he says, okay, now, Abram, you need to walk before me and you need to be blameless. That's exactly what that is exactly how we read that verse. I need to walk before God and be blameless. That's what we do. We look upon ourselves as though we had some ability whatsoever. And then we go about because we believe that we are somehow able, we go about to try to fulfill that, to try to do what only God and God alone can do. Remember, the Lord, right before he makes that statement, he makes it quite clear, very clear. No confusion, no misunderstanding. I am Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am the only one able. I am the only one capable. I am the only powerful. I am the only sufficient one. God revealed himself unto Abram at this juncture as El Shaddai. Therefore, from that moment onward, the heart of Abram is submitted unto not I, but Christ in a greater measure. So then when he hears, walk before me and be blameless, walk before my face and be blameless, Abram understands this that God requires, this that God desires, God and God alone must be the doer of it. God and God alone must realize it. The heart of Abram is submitted unto the truth. From verse 1, Genesis chapter 17, and onward. So anytime we look at Abraham thereafter, we have to know that that is the understanding that the heart of Abraham, is submitted unto. And even with the name change as well. The Lord says, no longer Abram, because that's your identity. That's what you think. That's what you were. No more Abram, but Abraham. Not I, but Christ. And see, that was reality from the moment of new birth, from the moment when the God of glory first appeared unto Abraham, while he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. That was the truth. That was reality. Abram probably didn't know it at the time. That didn't change the truth. So right here, God, by his own ability, El Shaddai, has brought the heart of Abram unto where he has already brought Abram's soul in reality. The heart brought of God in knowledge unto where the soul has already been brought of God in reality. The name change. And Abram, when his name was changed to Abraham, from that moment onward, is no longer called Abram. No longer relates as Abram. Remember, he walks before the face of the Almighty. He walks with his heart submitted unto the knowledge that it is not I, but Christ. He walks in light. He walks in truth. He walks above. He walks in reality. He walks in Christ. This is what the heart of Abraham is submitted unto. This is the light that he walks in. And he walks in this light by the ability of the Almighty, El Shaddai. And so, reading Genesis chapter 18, let me pull it up real quick. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16, we have to have this before us when we read it. We have to see Abraham in this way, because this is actually what's governing his heart. This is actually what his heart is, the government that his heart is submitted unto. This is the knowledge that his heart is submitted unto. No longer the first man, Adam, the second man, the Lord from heaven. No longer my ability, dead works, but El Shaddai, the only one who is able. Okay. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, the men of the Lord, the three men. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? I'll just keep on reading. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Okay. Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? And I don't know if you've thought of this verse or in just your reading of this chapter, if you thought of this verse. But when I read that, this is the verse that came to my heart, and I want to go ahead and read it. This is John chapter 15, verse 15. This is Jesus speaking in John to his disciples. Okay? He says the following: "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." For a servant does not know what his master is doing. Now, and Jesus calls them friends, his disciples. "For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." Now, I'll just give this example with a Lord and a servant, or I'll just use this example, the centurion and his servant. And remember, forgive me, I can't remember the passage in the New Testament, but there was a centurion, and Jesus marveled at his faith, and he said something to the extent of like, "I haven't seen such faith like this, such great faith like this in all of Israel." And basically, the centurion came to Jesus, said, "Look, my servant is sick, but say the word, and he will be healed." And then he says this: "I too am a man under authority. I say to my servant, to this one go, and he goes. To this one do this, and he does that." You see? And then Jesus says, basically, I'm paraphrasing all this, but you can check it out. "As you've believed, so let it be done unto you." His servant was healed from that moment onward. Okay, so there's the centurion, there's a servant, and the centurion says, okay, do this, and he does it. Go over here, and he goes over there. But the servant doesn't know why he does what he does. All he knows is, well, my master said this, so I did that. See where I'm going? Why did he say to do that? Well, I don't know. And yet with Abram and Jesus right here, Jesus, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because a friend does know." Now, do his disciples, does that mean that the disciples are no longer servants of the Lord? No. Does that mean that they go on to be apostles, that the apostles are no longer servants of the Lord? No. They continue to be servants, bond slaves, bond servants unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this. But in regard to relating to him, in relationship, there is a, how shall I say it, a new facet of the relationship introduced, a friend. Because this one not only hears, do this, but this one also knows why, the purpose for which he does what he does. Remember, the servant's mind, the heart that the mind of the servant that is submitted to, is his master's. A friend. I know we'll eventually, because Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, it's there. We'll also look at Moses, how God spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. Listen, face to face. There is a facet of this relationship with the Lord that the Lord himself is bringing before Abraham. (Clears throat) That is why I believe the Lord brings this up. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Here's another verse, a couple of verses here. And they basically show that Abraham still continues to be a servant, and yet he is the friend of God. All right. This is Psalm 105, verse 6. This is verse 4. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and judgments of his mouth. Verse 6. O seed of Abraham, his servant. Here we go. You children of Jacob, his chosen ones. And scrolling down several verses, verse 42, still of Psalm 105, it says, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. And so once you're born again, you are a servant of the Lord. You are a servant of the Most High God. You are no longer a servant of Pharaoh. There's a new king present, and yet so much more of this person is there that the Lord himself desires that we relate to him by. Jesus, at a particular juncture, once again speaks to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but friends. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing. A friend does. All right. Going on. So this is also going on and being established in the heart of Abraham. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Now listen to verse 18. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household forever, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Remember how I read Genesis chapter 17, verse 1? And how I said immediately when we see that verse or that portion of the verse where it says, walk before my face and be perfect, how we immediately associate that to ourselves in this respect, our ability to accomplish, our ability to perform, our ability to make it happen. Listen earlier. This is the Lord speaking. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. Well, this is Genesis chapter 18, after Genesis chapter 17. So the Lord actually knows, once again, who the doer is. And remember earlier how I mentioned, forgive me, I can't remember if I mentioned it in this class or in a different class, in my Spanish class, but I'll mention it again if I haven't. And if I have, well, you'll hear it again. To me, and I believe even there in the testimony, it's not so much what is done, but who the doer of it is. Is it us? I? Or is it the Lord? Not I, but Christ. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and household after him. By what ability will Abraham command his children and his household? Remember what the heart of Abraham is submitted unto. Not I, but Christ. Not I, powerless, impotent, but El Shaddai, all powerful, almighty, all able, all capable, one. The only powerful, the only capable, the only able one. Not I, but Christ. God knows this. God knows this. My brothers and sisters, this requires a miracle of God. Remember Genesis chapter 17, verse 1? God appeared unto Abram at the time, and then he declares himself as, I am Almighty God. Until that moment, to whatever degree, Abram is still convinced that he has ability. Dead works, once again, Ishmael. Not what God was after, not what God wanted, not the one whom God promised. All right, so I'm right here. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him by the ability of El Shaddai. It goes on, that they keep the way of the Lord. How shall they keep the way of the Lord? Once again, brothers and sisters, not I, but Christ. What was established in the heart of Abraham must be established in the heart of his children and his household. Now, because they are his children, because they are found in his household, that which the heart of Abraham is submitted unto, so also the house. But remember with Sarah, our last class, we looked at it. Each one of us must come to know the Lord in such a manner as the Lord would have us to know him. That they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. And how, by what ability, will they do righteousness or justice? My brothers and sisters, by the only righteous one, by the only just one. Once again, not I, but Christ. It doesn't change. No, it doesn't change. Remember, from the moment of new birth, from the moment the God of glory first appears, it is not I, but Christ. The question is, how long will it take of the Lord preparing the ground of our heart so that our heart may be brought by the work of the Spirit, not our own ability, unto the truth? Not so that it can be true. No, it is true since the moment the God of glory first appears. But that our heart may come in knowledge, in wisdom, in understanding, unto the truth. Now, I want us to look at this. The word, where is it? Keep. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord. That they keep the way of the Lord. Now, changing Bible apps here. Let me look it up real quick, where we are at. Verse 19, let me change the translation. Here we go. The word keep, let me see if I can find it. Yep. I did a or let me see if let me see if it takes me to the same spot. No, it didn't. Oops, looking at the wrong one. Let me go back over here. Once again, the word keep. I did a Lexeme search. Yeah. Shiloh, quiet. I did a Lexeme search, and where it brought me is, actually brought me two places, but I'll just say this one. Shiloh, quiet. Quiet. Lay down. No, lay down. Quiet. Sorry about that. She got excited. Genesis chapter 3. Nope, that one wasn't it. Yes, 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 yes. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. And once I read it, you'll know the context and everything else. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And there it is. Guard and way, keep the way to the tree of life. Now, right there, with the tree of life, my brothers and sisters, the first man, Adam, after entering into a state of death, God did not want him to partake of that. The first man, Adam, was also blind to the tree of life before he entered into that state, because he considered everything else the tree of death before he considered the tree of life. Okay? But I want us to look at the passage again. Verse 19, For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord. That they keep the way of the Lord. And we, once again, have our own way. Each one of us has turned to his own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And yet right here, it speaks of keeping the way of the Lord. How can one keep the way of the Lord except by the ability of the Lord? And not only that, the way of the Lord has a destined end. See, our way has a destined end as well. The way of man, the way of the first man, Adam. My brothers and sisters, it is all spelled out very clearly in the book of Genesis. And Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is basically Adam partook of death. That's it. That's our way. The way of the Lord is altogether other. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That they may keep the way of the Lord. And the way of the Lord has a destined end. That end is Christ Jesus himself, the Son. I want us to look at the word keep. It is Strong's number 8104. And this is the Strong's dictionary. A primitive root properly to hedge about, as with thorns. That is guard. Generally to protect, attend to, etc. Okay? Now, I want us to look at Vine's dictionary. Let me get to it. There we go. Strong's number 8104, the Hebrew word shamar, Shamar, something like that. To keep, tend, watch over, retain. Biblical Hebrew attests it about 470 times and in every period. So this word is not only found in Genesis, it's found in every period of Hebrew history. Okay, that's what I understand it to say. Shamar means to keep in the sense of tending and taking care of. Oh, look at here. So God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The first occurrence of the word. And remember, brothers and sisters, Adam it's not written in the scripture, but what he did, he most likely did by his own ability. Had he done it by the ability of the only one who is able, El Shaddai, I would say that he probably would have never eaten of the tree of death. But we know he didn't. Adam did in his own ability. All right, and that is Adam, the first man, Adam. So it goes on in Vine's dictionary. In this same sense, God is described as the keeper of Israel, the one who keeps Israel. And let's just go ahead and read that passage. It's Psalm 124. It's the wrong tab, Psalm. Let's see where we're at. So, excuse me, not 24. Psalm 121, verse 4. But I'm going to go ahead and read all of Psalm 121, verse 1. Beginning with verse 1. Psalm 21, verse 1. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hill from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. That means God does not abide in darkness. He does not abide at nighttime. No, he is the eternal day of the new creation. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Who is the keeper? Is it us in our ability? Or is it the Lord? Now, I will say this. Psalm 121 is a testimony of Jesus Christ. God the Father keeps the Son. This very same Son who is our life. Also, the Lord who is Christ Jesus the Son keeps our soul. We do not keep ourselves. Remember the where was the verse? I'm not going to try to find it right now, but Jesus said, you are in my hands and no one can snatch you out of my hand. And then he goes on to say, and I'm paraphrasing this, I know this, he goes on to say, and you're in my Father's hand and my Father is greater. And no one will snatch you out of his hand. Who keeps who? My brothers and sisters, it will eternally, forever, throughout eternity be not I, but Christ. At some point, may the Lord bring our heart to such a knowledge. Going on, where were we? Okay. The word also means to keep in the sense of watching over or giving, and this is once again Vine's dictionary. The word also means to keep in the sense of watching over or giving attention to. All right. Going on, I'm going to skip. It talks about David and Abner. I'm going to skip a little bit more. And right here, this is what I'm looking for. In extended application, this emphasis comes to mean to watch, observe, as it came to pass, and here's the example, and it came to pass as she, that is Hannah, where are we, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching, there's the word, her mouth. Another extended use of the verb related to this emphasis appears in covenantal contexts. In such cases, keep means to watch over in the sense of seeing that one observes the covenant, keeping one to a covenant, keeping one to a covenant, okay? Yes, right there. And they're using the example of the covenant, and they're using the example of Hannah and Eli now. Hannah, we know, went to the temple. She was pouring out her heart unto the only one who was able. And her heart was fixed upon a son. She found no power and no ability in neither her natural husband nor in herself. And so she's pouring out her heart to the Lord concerning a son. Eli is watching her, observing her, trying to figure out what she is saying. To see, to know what is being said. And so, of course, we know he comes up with a sad interpretation of this one pouring their heart out concerning a son unto the Lord. I mean, these are the examples that Dr. Vines gives us. Excellent, excellent. And then it goes on to in the sense of, in such, where does it say? In such cases, keep means to watch over in the sense of seeing that one observes the covenant, keeping to a covenant, keeping one to a covenant. And so here we have the covenant of God, the covenants of God found in the scriptures which are the testimony of Jesus Christ, and to keep, to guard, would be to look, to observe intently so as to know what is being said. My brothers and sisters, this happens by a miracle of God alone. Because before this happens, we read the scriptures and we believe that we are able to know what they mean when we do not. The way of the Lord has an expected, there is a determined end. That end is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. Only the way of the Lord has this end. man's ways, doesn't matter what end. Maybe, listen, maybe it's something about Jesus. It's not Jesus. All right, let me see. Going on further with Vine's dictionary. In a third group of passages, this verb means to keep in the sense of saving or retaining. When Jacob told his family about his dream, his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. He retained it mentally. When he heard about this dream, he retained it mentally to understand, to know what is being communicated. Let's read the passage. This is, it is found in Genesis chapter 37. Let's start, verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Well, there you go. No one likes being told that they're not Jesus. No one likes being told that they are not, listen to the way I say this, the beloved. No one likes being told that they are not the preferred one. No one likes being told that they are not the special one of the Father. Now Joseph had a dream, verse 5 of Genesis chapter 37, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I've dreamed. I mean, I don't think Joseph was putting up any attitude of his own or pride in any manner. I think he believed he had a dream from God and just wanted to convey it to everybody else. So it goes on. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. My brothers and sisters, this is nothing less than a testimony to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection. My sheaf, I'll read it right here. How does it say it? My sheaf arose from the earth. Okay, well, maybe it was stand up. Resurrection arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. It goes on. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Gosh, I mean, Joseph, we know this. Joseph is a tremendous testimony of Jesus of Nazareth and the risen Lord, all wrapped up in one person who is a testimony of the true, of the greater. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Gosh, it's just the way we are. Quiet, Shiloh. Just the way we are. What do you mean it's not about me? I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the Lord. Well, yes, you are if you're born again. But really, my brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus. And it will forever continue to be all about Jesus. Verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. And so here you have the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the light of the stars, Here you have a testimony bowing down to the greater one of whom they testify. Once again, Joseph is a testimony of Christ Jesus. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed?" There is his natural father. "Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" Well, yes. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the whole household, the children, the disciples, all, yes. "And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind." There we go, the word keep. He thought about it. He considered it. What does this mean? What does this mean? Okay, I want to read one last passage here. It is in Philippians, because this is just where my heart was drawn when I read that and looked at that passage of Joseph. This is Philippians chapter 2. You can read the whole passage and you will find nothing less than Jesus exalted. But we're just going to go ahead and read verses 8 through 11. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." Listen to the way they say this. This is verse 10. We're going to read to verse 11. Verse 10, "that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." My brothers and sisters, the way of the Lord has a determined end. Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of the living God. This is the way God set it up. It is not by our ability, but it is by His. Abraham knew this. Abraham walked in this. Therefore, the Lord could plainly disclose His mind, His heart, unto His friend. And His friend, not I, but Christ. So, that's all I have for this class. Please present this to the Holy Spirit, our true teacher, that He may take that which He desires to take, use that which He desires to use for God's own end and God's own purpose. Amen. Amen. Lord bless. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.